Psalms chapter 19 this evening, and we also will be visiting later in the sermon Psalms chapter 8, and so you just can make a little note of that. But Psalms chapter 19 this evening, we are really fortunate to live in Rochester. Although there's many different other cities that are going to experience the eclipse in its full glory, Rochester is right in the dead, we'll get the longest blackout of this, and Dallas will as well, and you know, Buffalo and some other cities will. But we're right in that sweet spot, if you will. And we're going to experience a major, amazing event. Now again, I'm not putting any significance on this event in the sense that, is this a sign? Not really. It's something that happens quite a bit. But, you know, there was a time when they thought it was a sign. And actually, in the Battle of Halys, which was fought around the 6th century BC, it actually was fought in Anatolia, which is present-day Turkey. It was fought between the Medes and the Lydians. And according to the Greek historians, the battle was interrupted by day turning to night. And presumably, and because of computer models today, they can do this. They went back and discovered that it was an eclipse. But both sides were so freaked out. This six-year war ended that day. It ended. They put down their arms. They made a peace treaty. The king's daughter of one of the group married the king's son of the other. They had a relationship, and the war was over because of an eclipse. So people see this as a sign or whatever. I'm not, but what I am amazed at is the fact that God, in his design of creation, has made this possible. I want you to fathom this. The sun, if you filled it with Earth-sized planets, would take 1,300,000,000,000 Earth-sized planets to fill the sun. That's an amazing amount. You could put that many Earths inside if the sun was hollow. I could also demonstrate an illustration of the first man landing on the sun. Anyway, I saw a comedian do that one time. The moon is about 27% the size of the Earth. Much, much smaller. The sun then is actually 400 times bigger than the moon. But it happens to also be 400 times further in distance from the Earth. Show that picture. This is fascinating. So then, from Earth, the moon can totally block out the sun. Isn't that fascinating? Is that an accident? Is that a cosmic mistake that was made because some particles that were never existing all of a sudden came together and then for some reason got unstable and exploded and caused the universe to spin out of control, and out of that primeval ooze formed on this planet, and somehow lightning struck water, and and we crawled out, and great 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 grandfather developed legs, and here we are today? Or is that by design? Did God make them the same size in our sky, even though one is so greatly larger than the other? Psalms 19, beginning in verse 1, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the Son. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other. Nothing can be hid from its heat. The instruction of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I want to talk to you firstly about a magnificent Creator. What we're going to experience, people are going to look up, and you can explain to them that, you know what, the earth, the sun's so large, it's, 93 million miles away, it's a diameter of 864,000 miles. The moon is only have a diameter of just over 2,150 miles. It averages just 238,900 miles from the earth. But because their sun is 400 times further away than the moon, they look the same in our sky. If you can say that's a coincidence, if you can say, well, you know what, that just happened, you have more faith than I do. Because I love this stuff, and I've made a vow a long time ago. I could preach this, and some of your eyes are going to glaze over, and you're going to think, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Creation is an amazing thing. From the eyeball that is in your head and all that involves our ability to see color to the vast universe. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who else has held who has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth? Or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale. God is such a marvelous. I don't know if you understand this. We live in the Milky Way galaxy. In the Milky Way galaxy, inhabitable planets are not possible, but in a thin Goldilocks ring. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's not full of poisonous gas. If we were closer to the center of our universe, the Milky Way, we would be sucked into the black hole. Life cannot exist. If we were further away, gravity would not be strong enough to create the force, the magnetic field around our Earth that actually keeps away the sun's radiation. I could go on. In our own solar system, we're in the Goldilocks, not too hot, not too cold, ring. Mars is impossible to have life. You could never have liquid water on Mars. It never gets warm enough. On Venus, there's no way we could live. It would be far too hot. The closer we are to the sun, the only way Mercury survives, as close as it is to the sun, is it orbits the sun in 88 days. It's very fast moving. We take a year to orbit the sun. These kind of fascinating marks only begin to scratch the surface. There are 20. You can talk to your people. On the Easter egg hunt, I talked to one couple and I said, do you go to church? They said, oh no, we believe in science. I said, I absolutely believe in science. It's scientists I have some problems with, but I believe in science. There are 20 major factors that make Earth: tectonic plates, liquid water, a magnetic field around the earth because of the tectonic plates that keep the radiation of the sun away. On and on and on we could go. If we were a little closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If our earth rotated any faster, it would not get warm enough. If it rotated any slower than 24 hours a day, it would get too cold. It's amazing. If we had two moons like Mars, our tides would be totally, totally whacked. I'm going to show a little video. Please bear with it. It's only about 8 minutes long. It's a little interesting. It starts a little, but you'll understand as the video gets why I chose this video, because it's going to explain the cosmic neighborhood we live in. And the furthest that we can see with the telescopes that we have, and that doesn't scratch the surface of our universe that God says, I made with my fingers. Can we show that video?
Drawn together by gravity to form what is known as a local group. structure, each form of light you see is no longer an individual star, but an entire galaxy filled with billions of stars. Our local group is adjacent to the Virgo cluster, a massive concentration of an estimated 2,000 spiral, elliptical, and dwarf galaxies that emit soon clouds of plasma and dust. This spectacular creation is the heart of a chain of cosmic islands, one shaped by the gravitational pull of 40,000 different galaxies. Collectively, they form the Virgo supercluster, one of the largest structures known to science. But as our view widens, this chain is quickly lost among countless formations of similar composition and size. For Virgo is a drop in a cosmic bucket that may contain as many as 10 million superclusters, each a slender thread in the large scale construction of the observable universe. Our journey has transported us 45 million light years from Earth, to the outer limits of scientific discovery. A strong web of filaments spun from perhaps 2 trillion galaxies and stars more numerous than grains of sand on all the deserts and beaches of the world. So how did this God? He's big enough to create a universe with dimensions so vast they're beyond our comprehension. Yet in the words of the prophet Isaiah, he can measure it all with the fingers of his hand. The magnitude of God's power and size can never be reckoned by mathematics or physics, for he is omnipotent, eternal, and infinite. But if we explore the cosmos with open eyes, not limited to theories of blind chance and a random collision of atoms, we discover a magnificent tapestry crafted by a consummate artist who once spoke all of this into existence from absolutely nothing, then revealed glimpses of his identity through the grandeur and design of everything he made. And for anyone who has ever looked into a clear night sky, evidence of God's stature and character shines brighter than the light for 1,000 stars.
Yes. I know the graphics start childish, but isn't it amazing when you see what they're after? Absolutely fascinating. The heavens declare the glory of God. That is God's handiwork. It has to be an intelligent designer. It's very interesting. He mentioned the issue of spiral galaxies. And one thing that baffles the Big Bang theorists is half of them spiral clockwise and the other half spiral counterclockwise. And if there had been a bang, they would have all spiraled the same way. And then you throw in these oddities, they call them dwarfs because they don't fit in either category. These are fascinating. God designed that. He's designed, and that's the known universe to man. Man can only see that far with all our telescopes and all that. And they believe that this is just a scratch of what is probably out there. Fascinating to understand. You know, it's always fascinated me that when God promised Abraham, your descendants will be as the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky. At that point, they could only count about 650 stars. They had no idea that that one star was actually a galaxy full of hundreds and billions of stars. They had no idea at that point, till Galileo and others invented the telescope. It is fascinating to look at that. Two arguments that you could easily give against the Big Bang Theory. And one, you could actually say there is a Big Bang Theory. One is, chaos never brings order. Volcanoes don't blow up and create cities. They destroy cities. You'll never see a volcano blow up and buildings come out of this, you know, stone and rock and all of that. Explosions don't bring order. But the theory of the Big Bang might have it very simple. God said it, bang, there it was. That could be the Big Bang Theory. God spoke this into existence. The magnificence of what it produces. Our psalm, our text says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky displays his craftsmanship. There's two things I think that are masters of that. One is God is a mathematician. He's put it in order. Man has broken the code. We can figure out. They can actually go back and figure out. One man took computer models and went back and figured out the North Star. Very fascinating. He was actually not an astronomer at any stretch of the imagination. He was a Pennsylvania lawyer. And he went back and figured it out, how that the big star that was mentioned there, that three stars together, they simply call it the King Star because it is the brightest star in our sky. If you see a star after dark, it's usually not a star, it's usually a planet that is reflecting the sun. But when it actually lined up with Jupiter, and because of the rotation of the earth, you could, and the fact that it was Jupiter, you could see it. Has anyone ever seen a star like after the sun's up and you're going, wow, how come I'm seeing a star? Usually that's a planet. It's usually either Venus or Mars because they're the closest. Reflecting the sun, and it happens to have to line up when we're both on the same side of the sun at the same time because our year orbits are very different. But God set this in, his math in his mind, and so he sets up even the North Star and how this was a perfect way of it even going backwards in the sky. You could see it during the day and such, and why it lasted so long. And then the other part of this is God is an artist. If you've ever seen pictures from NASA, if you ever go on NASA's website and just look at the pictures from the Hubble telescope and now the new one that they have out there that is even further out in space and it's actually getting towards the asteroid belt and how that they have this and are able to take pictures and they've created a way to block the sun so they could take long pictures and look into places that they could only see as dark spots and realize there's thousands of stars and galaxies there. Fascinating. The colors. But how about just a sunset? You ever amazed at just a sunset? You ever go up to the lake and just watch the sun fall into the water? It's fascinating. It's amazing that God is both brilliant and an artist at the same time. The heavens declare the glory of God. When you begin to look into this and understand, this can never be an accident. You might not, it says that they speak without a sound or a word. There is no way you can be honest. The head of the Geno Project in the United States was doing research on the gene mapping, the DNA of the human being, and he came to the conclusion, this is a designer. And he actually became a Christian because of this. Creation speaks that this can't be an accident. People ignore this today to their own peril. Romans 1:20, for since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and everything that God made. So they clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. You know, in ancient times when paganism would come in, many times they would make multiple gods, and they would have gods of the sun and the moon and the stars and the this and the that. Because they understood that this is beyond us. God himself is rebuking Job. And he asked Job some questions, and some really pointed questions. Job 38, 31 through 33, can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the clusters of the Pleiades, or loosening the cords of Orion? These are clusters, or not astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy, the distinction of stars. He says, can you direct the constellations through the seasons, or guide the bear, again, one of the constellations, with her cubs across the heaven? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? There's gravity, there's laws God has put in. And this declares his glory, that creation doesn't speak against, and science should never speak against the glory of God. It should reveal it. But then scientists have to come to a moral question. Do I believe in God, and would that change how I live? Or could I just say this took hundreds and billions and trillions of years by chance to happen? And there's no way by chance any of that happened. The universe, the stars. And in this, where's our place? The fascinating thing is, where's our place? Psalms 8, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You taught the children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all those who oppose you. When I look up into the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them a little lower than God or angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks, the herds, all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean currents. O Lord, our God, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. David writes, he says, when I look up at heaven, I'm thinking of, this is fascinating. You know, it said, speed of light, it would take you, what, 1.3 seconds or minutes, whatever it was, to get to the moon. But if you drove a car at 60 miles an hour, it'd take you 19 days to get there. Let's grasp that. Are the largest, the longest, farthest man-made vessel to ever leave, it left our universe just a couple years ago, turned around, took a picture. I was going to show you that, but then I thought pictures of a rabbit hole that we could go down, and you'd be bored, some of you. But it's called the Voyager. And it's left our universe. It's now in deep stellar space. But it will take, for it to reach our closest star, would take a millennia and more. It's only gone 0.02% of the way there. And it was launched in the late 70s. And that's the furthest we've gotten, Voyager 1. Voyager 2 is about to leave our universe and move on in a different direction. But in all of this, the marvelous, we are God's jewel. You know, you're God's jewel. In all of creation, human beings out of all of the, you can look at the majesties of earth and the, you know, the amazingness of it. And, you know, like I said, we had coffee with the, you know, the LaValleys, and we're driving over the Rainbow Bridge and we're looking at the Niagara Falls and we're going, man, this is amazing. And, you know, you get to see it from this view and it's fascinating. It's amazing. And as majestic that God says, you're more important. You could think about moons and Mars and Venus and Uranus and all that goes on out there. Neptune, the gas giant, which actually, the oddity of that is it doesn't rotate like this. It actually, I think when man sinned, it fell over and it now spins this way. Its south pole faces the sun. Don't put that as a scientific fact, but you're why God created all this. All of it. That's how important you are to Him. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created male and female, He created them. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply the earth, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the animals that scurry along the ground. Sin, of course, has interfered with this. Sin has brought the effect, the cruelness, and affected all of creation. Genesis 3 tells us that when man sinned, since you've listened to your wife, and you ate of the tree of the fruit which I commanded you not to eat, the ground will be cursed. And all the days you'll struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat of its grain. Creation is cursed because of man's sin. Creation is suffering under man's sin. Global warming, or climate change, or whatever you want to say, some will dispute whether it's happening. I don't dispute if it's happening. Rochester used to get a lot more snow. But why is it happening? Is it the internal combustion engine? Is it a democratic conspiracy? No, it's man's sin. Creation cries because of man's sin. The gem of God's creation has lowered itself to such an undignified degree, committing all sorts of wickedness, heinous crimes against God and themselves. And yet creation is fighting for the day of redemption. Romans 8, 19 through 21, for all creation is eagerly waiting for the future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day that it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. God had never intended for deer or for birds to die. He never intended for you to have to put so much effort in just to grow grass in your yard. It takes no effort whatsoever to grow weeds. That's part of the curse. And God said, you know what? Creation fights for this. And I don't know if your dog, you know, will join us in heaven and, you know, and be resurrected. I have no idea. I don't really even know that we'll care when we get there. But I do know that creation looks forward to the day of redemption. That creation knows when Jesus died, He's bringing us back to something. Back to where we were before Adam and Eve sinned. And that creation and the glory of God that is revealed is for that. We know, John says, that without Him, Jesus, nothing was created that was created. He's created it all. From those large gas giants to the universes and the megastars and the black holes and all the fun stuff that NASA pictures will show you. And you're the gem. Out of all of that, He's more interested in you. Your needs. Your desires. The things that break your heart. All creation is crying for redemption. Colossians says it this way, Christ, the invisible image of the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and was supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. He is the beginning of the supreme over all who raised from the dead. So He is the first of everything. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were His enemy, separated by your evil thoughts and actions, but now you are reconciled to Him through the death of Jesus Christ in His physical body, and as a result, He has brought you into His presence. You are holy and blameless and stand before Him without a single fault. Tomorrow, people will be amazed. If it's not cloudy here and we're able to see it, it will be fascinating. I will be out, as many as you will be out, and we'll be watching this going, wow. This will be one that if Jesus tarries, you'll be telling your children and your grandchildren about. I got to see the eclipse. I got to see that solar ring around the moon when the moon stood before the sun. And you know what? God designed that. And God in His artistry allowed me to see it. Because the creation, the heavens declare God's glory. That's what David is writing. You just look up there, you understand. God is an artist. He's a magnificent creator, designer, mathematician. He's got it all. And yet in His focus of everything is you, is me. He knows your needs, the hairs on your head. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows what you'll say. He knows how you'll respond. Even when we don't. Lord, I'll never deny you. Peter, 3 times before the rooster crows tomorrow morning. Give me that. Right? He knows us better than we think. And as we're looking up, as we're all going to be fascinated by it, and again, we're right in the main. We're very, very fortunate to have this. That's why they're saying 500,000 people are coming to Rochester. More are going to Buffalo. They declared a state of emergency in Niagara and Buffalo like a week ago. And they're judging this by hotel reservations and air flight ticket bookings and things like that. They know this is not just like them trying to make a squeeze for money. They know there's going to be issues. They're going to have some extra police and to direct traffic and such. And it's going to be a 2-minute event in 87 seconds or something like that. It's going to be pretty much all over. But in all of that, God knows you. God loves you. God cares about you that much that in all of his majesty and creation, you are the gem, the prize, the glory, his treasured possession. Never forget that, because it's easy to feel very insignificant. I love when this video gets out and it points at us where we are in the Milky Way, and it's like, yeah, right, you are here, kind of thing. You know, this is where we are, right? So small, and but yet in God's eyes, you are so big, you are so precious. And that's worthy to remember. The heavens declare the glory of God, but you and I are his highest creation. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. It's going to be a wonderful thing to see tomorrow. But you know what will even be more wonderful? If you do it knowing your sins are forgiven. Knowing that God has forgiven you from every error, every bad mistake, every bad decision, every disastrous moment of our lives. God will forgive you, help you, and heal you. If you're here this evening, you're not right with God, you're not saved or you're backslidden, I wonder if you'd slip up your hand and say, pray for me. I need to get my heart right with God. Anyone at all? Very quickly, we're going to move on in just a second. You're not right with God. You're not saved or backslidden. Just then, no, tomorrow. Lots of hype on this, and we're going to have a good time. And, you know, like I said, we're going to see it. We're going to brag about it and all of that. But the reality is that in the midst of all of the mathematics and all of the glory of it and all of the beauty of it, God cares more about you. Your needs, desires, your hurts, your issues, he cares more about you than he does about Mars, than he does about all of the universe. You are more important to him. He didn't die for Jupiter. He didn't die for the Virgo sector. He didn't die for the whales or the trees. They'll be redeemed because of his death, but he died for us. And that alone speaks volumes. Let's all stand. We're going to open up these altars. Let's worship God. Give him glory. Give him praise.
Awesome is the sight of your holiness. Majestic is your purity. And your righteousness shines brighter than the sun is on me. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. Glory, glory, glory to his matchless name. Awesome is the sight, and awesome is the sight, it's of your holiness. Majestic is your purity, and your righteousness shines brighter than the sun, it's on me. Holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. In glory, glory, glory to his matchless name. In glory, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And that was slain. And that was holy, holy.
Holy, holy
is the Lord. slain, and that was
great. Let's thank God this evening for all his goodness. Father, we love you, God. We praise you. Oh, ra 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 bo 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 ra 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 se da la 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 ra bo se. Hallelujah, thank God. You know, it's easy to think between Israel and all the troubles of Russia and the Middle East and, you know, and the eclipse and now a whole universe like this to run and all that, who are you? You know, in a very crazy book called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you don't recommend, but it's actually my humor, and I enjoyed it, but most of you, it's dark British humor, so most of you won't get it. But anyway, they have the irrelevant machine. They put you in the machine and they show you the size of the universe and you go, hey, you're not relevant at all. And yet you are. In all of time, in all of eternity, because there's a God in heaven who says, I love you. I care about you. I know your desires, your pains, your hurts. And you are my glory of creation. You know, I'm fascinated by the rings of Saturn and all of that. You know, all of those things, they amaze me. But you know what? In all its beauty and majestic, you're still the most important thing that God has ever created in his eyes. That's what he said. That's not what I said. That's what he said. And out of that, we can take that and say, God, I need your help. And he's not going to say, I'm too busy trying to do this or run that or do that. I'm going to help you. Thank God. Enjoy the eclipse tomorrow. And remember, 400 times away, 400 times smaller, all of those kind of things. But God designed it just like that. It's fascinating to me. But I bore you. I've rambled on too much because I love this stuff. Let's bow our heads, go rejoicing. Randy, would you ask God's blessing upon us as we go?